afternoon, I'd like to thank everyone that's come out tonight. And if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm, well, Psalm chapter 39. Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4. This is King David speaking. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. I don't know if I've ever heard this spoken of, but I was looking at these verses have spoken to me lately, and I was thinking about the fragility of life, how fragile life is. I think we've all experienced that a little bit in days in our lifetime. I remember the first time I ever thought about that. I was just a little boy, and I was in I guess my mother had sent us on this little summer program called Head Start, and some teenagers would gather some of us young ones up and take us down to Cedar Dunes Provincial Park, and we do activities and stuff, and she probably a good way for her to get us out of her hair, and it was good. We did a lot of good things, but I remember there was at the beach there was tourists from the U.S. and it was two sisters out there, and they got caught in the current right at the point there at just on the south side of the lighthouse. There used to be more of a point come out there. The erosion and storms have shaved that off, but it made kind of a riptide, and it drug these girls out to further than they wanted to go, and they were in distress. And their father went out to get them, and the girls were rescued, but the father died. Whether he drowned or took a heart attack, whatever happened, he died. And that's the first time I ever thought about, you know, a father, you know, a grown-up man, and then he tried his best to save somebody, but he just couldn't do it. He died. We look at the old men of the Bible, the people who lived the longest, the Methuselahs. How long did he live? 969 years? This was before sin had taken such a hold as it has today, and people just don't live that long. Noah lived a very long life. Adam, the first man, lived a very long life, 930 some years. And after each one that are listed in the genealogy of mankind, and the last word is, and they died. So there's no getting around us, every one of us. Every one of us born of a woman on this earth. Everyone who has blood pumping in our veins. Their latter end for this life is death. King David, he says, that I may know how frail I am. I remember thinking when I was young how, you know, I'm strong, nothing can hurt me. And every once in a while you'd do something and you'd say, whew, that was close. Oh, friend, if we only knew how close it was. This King David who wrote this, he's a man who shepherded, who was a shepherd of the flock, and boy, that was a high calling, like in the sense that you had to protect that flock. You were in charge of making sure that none were lost. So David fought the bear and he fought the lion. Did he die? No. David beat them. He conquered. What a strong man. He wasn't the biggest man, but he was skilled with the sling and goodness knows what other weapon that he was skilled at. He came to the valley that day where the Philistines were calling down the Most High God, the one that we serve, the one that I serve. And David came along and, why are you letting this guy talk that way about our God and you people? And he took 5 smooth stones from the brook down at the bottom of that valley. And he put 1 in the sling and he wound up and he threw it and it hit the giant Goliath right square in the forehead. And down he went. And he chopped his head off with his own sword. This man, it seemed like nothing could beat him. What did he say in 1 Samuel? He said, truly, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David knew the fragility of life. He knew that although man thinks he's strong, thinks he's something, the breath of his life is so fragile. My father, I looked at that man, and such a strong man. I heard all the stories from around the countryside. These strong farmers, you know, they don't have the machinery today that I know I would rely on. I love machinery. They were strong in every way. They had to be. And he could just, we'd try boxing with him a little bit, you know, and he knew where our hands were coming from before we did. And he just blocked them, you know, like that. But when he was my age, that I am now, 59, we saw that brain tumor set in. And the strong man I knew, he was defeated. First, his balance would be off. His strength would be off. His speech, he couldn't form words. And he couldn't eat. And we'd go over to Moncton, over to the hospital, and they'd operate on him and relieve some of the pressure from his head. And then he'd get a little better. It would almost give you a false sense of hope. There was nothing they could do for him. In the end, he was like the other mighty men, and he died. David says there is just a step between me and death. How many times have we all been so close to that moment? Driving on the highway, whether it was our fault or someone else's fault, you're at the mercy of the highway when you travel. You don't know what's going to happen. It could be just an instant. The book of James says, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. You know, the word, it's interesting, the word at this, the end of verse 5 that we read here in Psalms 39. Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You know what that word means? In the fabric of time, I don't even make a ripple. like the little bit of disturbance that I would make as just a human doesn't mean anything. They claim that when man looks through the galaxies and into the universe, as far as man could, they estimate that every person living on planet Earth, if they wanted to, they could own or claim, what's it, like 11 million stars? Or is it more? Maybe I got my millions wrong. It's at least 11 million. The vastness of the universe, yet here we are on planet Earth. I want to just talk the last few minutes about someone who spoke all that into existence. The vastness, the intricacy, is that a word? Of all that we see and all that we know and all that we don't see. And us ourselves. I'm always amazed at the human body and the even our digestive system. And if one thing would be missing or not working, then the first two humans from which all we came from, life wouldn't have existed. Right from the ability to process food to the desire to take in food. Everything. So intricate, but yet so fragile. But one came from heaven. I want to read in John 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And 27. I was telling you about one shepherd in the Bible, David. And he cared. He cared about his flock. You know, sheep in the year 2025, to be called a sheep is kind of looked down upon today. People say that you're just a follower of the authorities, and you know, people think you should go against that, be rebellious of authorities. But this is a different shepherd. His heart, David and him had a heart like unto each other. And they cared about the flock. And they're willing to give their life. Who else would fight a bear or a lion? I can't understand how any one man could beat any of those. I can't figure it out. But he was willing to lay down his life. But there's one here. There's a shepherd here, John 10 and 27. And he says, his own words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We talked about the fragility of life. But I want to tell you, someone who is offering you life, is this just life like a heartbeat? And just to go on living many, many years like these men of old who lived 900 and some years like Methuselah? No. This is eternal life. And the Bible says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's our part. Wages is what you earn. And when we work for sin, the wages we receive is death. That's it, eternal death. But there's always God, like Michael said, it's no good unless, this message is no good unless there's a tremendous offer, a way out. And he offers life. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, this vast universe that we've been thinking about, And the tremendous design of just the human body was made by one who came from heaven. In heaven, he designed and he spoke all these things into existence. But he was the one who came to this earth when man could do nothing for himself. And God saw the downward road that man chose to be on. And he said, I'll make a way. And the only righteous way he could do it was to have a righteous one pay for the sins that the unrighteous could not pay for. It would do me no good to offer myself up for Andrew or Michael or Rose. They wouldn't gain one thing by it, because I'm just sinful flesh. But the one who came from heaven had no sin. And he could stand before the people and say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He, she, young boy, young girl, doesn't matter. He's the one that could say that because he had no sin. So the authorities at this time, they took him and they took him before false courts and they accused him of things that he never did. And they said, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And he said, the Lord Jesus said, you couldn't do any of this unless the power was given to you from heaven. These fragile men, they thought they were something. And they took him and they led him out. And they took him to the whipping post. And they scourged his back with a whip made of bone, cords with bone, and probably pieces of metal at the end. They flayed his back open. And the Bible says it was as a plowed field opened up. And he knew all that was going to happen. They thought they had the power to do this, but they forgot about the hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was written in the Bible, the plowers have plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. He knew what was going to happen. They nailed him to the cross. And the people thought they were doing this. It was their idea. It was written hundreds of years ago, they pierced my hands and my feet. God sent him as an offering for our sin, that we may have a few more years to live. No, that we may have eternal life and never perish. Look at what it says. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and you shall never perish. You will have eternal life. You won't be able to, you won't succumb to any man, woman that would try to talk you out of it. You can trust what the Bible says, and that if you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. That's what he wants to give. The offer of eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the transaction we've been talking about. He gave his son from heaven that whosoever, there's a tremendous offer. Offer of eternal life. For a few? No, for you. Who's you? Whosoever? Anybody here? Anybody outside these walls? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. I want to leave you with one more verse in 1 John. John 5:13. This verse is written for believers, people who have gone through the door, they've made the decision to go through that door and trust the one who died for their sins. This is just another assurance of salvation that you can trust on for eternity. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." There's been tremendous men come before you and me, people that we can't compare ourselves to. King David, he was in the Bible called a man after God's own heart. He loved the people. And he would have given his life, even for that flock of literal sheep. Think of the devotion of that shepherd. He beat a man who was, I don't know how many times bigger than he would have been there in that valley. Goliath. Goliath stood 9 foot something. Everybody else in the camp was scared of him. But with God's help, he went in and he killed that giant. But he understood there's a step between me and death. And I'll ask you tonight, if you were to step into death, if you were to cross that pillar, that article of death, where would you be? Only two places. God's heaven, or the hell prepared for the devil and his demons. Only two places the Bible speaks of, and you have to choose where you will be for eternity. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for one, such a one who was a shepherd, and our Father, he has such a care for us that he cared not about his own, the things of himself humanly, how his pain and his suffering. And our Father, we cannot imagine what he went through. We were reminded this morning of how even just one of us, how in the world that he could endure the suffering for the sin for just one of us in 3 hours. But there on the cross in the darkness, the Lord Jesus endured it all. He suffered for our sakes that we may have eternal life. Our Father, what an offer that goes out tonight. And it's to whosoever. Our Father, we just ask that I would help those in the audience who are outside the door, that they may trust the Lord Jesus with their soul for all eternity. We just pray in his precious name. Amen.